This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore, and the Mariner lineups are out. You know who's batting leadoff? The guy who's batting leadoff is Ryan Healy. Not in tonight's game. He's batting leadoff for our show because Ryan Healy joins us right now on the Venue Kings hotline. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
My pleasure. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Not as well as the Mariners are, because I don't know if anybody in America is doing as well as you guys are. I saw a picture yesterday, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it's you're standing next to Nelly Cruz, and you guys are waiting for Mitch Haniger to come and step on home plate after the two-run homer to win it in the bottom of the ninth. And it is a picture of just pure excitement and joy and shows you guys are having a blast right now.
Yeah, you can just kind of see the emotion on everyone's face right there. It's just pure joy and bliss. It's just, you know, everyone really rooting for one another and really enjoying everyone's successes as if they are our own. So it's really special to be a part of.
Ryan, we've had you on before, and you're a great interview and a great talker. And so that's bad news for you. Because now all the national people are waking up and like, oh, you know, which Mariner? And I know Jessamyn, our producer, is like, oh, you got to get Ryan Healy, man. He's a great interview. But no, you guys, I mean, all of a sudden it's got to be kind of cool that the national MLB network, all of those different outlets are starting to. Have you noticed the increased attention to you guys?
You know, maybe just kind of outside looking in, maybe, but I don't think we pay too much attention to that. You know, whether, you know, we're doing what we're doing or we're not. It's, you know, we're here to play and we're here to compete every day and we're here to, you know, push one another to be the best we can be. And I know it's a super generic answer, but that's kind of honestly the way you have to be in this clubhouse. And during the course of the season, you can't let the outside distractions dictate, you know, whether you're good or bad or happy or sad. You have to really come to the ballpark with a similar attitude every single day and be ready to compete.
Boy, Ryan, you're in such a hot stretch right now, four home runs in that Angels series. And I'm just wondering, golfers talk about when they get on a hot streak with putting, how big the hole seems. Does the ball seem like it's like a beach ball coming in when you get in one of these stretches?
You know, it's at times. It's, you know, it's less about that, though. It's more about just kind of the process of how I got here because, you know, not too long ago I was struggling and I was grinding and baseball was not fun. Obviously, we're winning, so it makes everything better. But, you know, individually, sometimes it's tough. This game can really beat you down or it can really pick you up just so, you know, overnight things can turn. So you kind of have to keep that positive perspective and be ready for when the tides do change to attack and take full advantage of the opportunity you have.
We're talking to Ryan Healy here. And, Ryan, one of the things that I admire most about baseball players and guys that succeed at any level, let alone at the highest level like you're playing, is that ability to weather through down stretches, that there are times that even the best players will go on struggle, on prolonged slumps and feel like they can't do anything. What's the key for you personally to be able to come out of those kind of things? What's gotten you through those tough times?
Man, you have to really reflect back on your experience. I learned that saying in college from coaching staff, just, you know, when situations get really big or you make situations bigger than they need to be, you have to reflect back on your experience and understand that you've done the work that it takes to get to this point. You've done this a million times. You have to really just trust that your body knows what to do and really force your mind to get out of its own way. And that's my at least biggest enemy, is I like to get in my own way sometimes. And I'm sure some of the best do as well, just because, you know, professional sports and life in itself is really difficult. And, you know, kind of when times are at their worst, you reflect on it, and sometimes you dwell on it too long. But when you give yourself a little bit of perspective and remind yourself that you're human, we're not perfect. None of us are. Even the best players in the world aren't perfect. You have to understand that and take the good with the bad and be able to roll with the punches and learn from the mistakes that you make or the failures that you have, and hopefully in the end make yourself a better player and a better human being because of it all.
Yeah, and Ryan, sort of a similar type of question for the team. We were talking about this yesterday as to whether or not momentum is a reality. Is it something that really exists for a team? And because you guys have won so many close games, and then yesterday you come back from a two-run deficit late, and you just kind of have that, is it a confidence? How would you describe what it's like when you guys get in those situations because you've been so good in them?
I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is that I can't sit here and describe it and put it in words. I don't have a formula of how it's been the way it has been. I don't know if the chicken comes before the egg or if the egg comes before the chicken. It's just kind of happened. And, it's one of those things that you embrace and you learn from and you adopt to make it part of your personality and your entire chemistry, but you just kind of roll with it. And I think that's kind of what we're doing right now, is we're putting our heads down and we're trusting the process. We're trusting one another. And we know that at some point someone's going to come through for this team. So I think that's just a lot of fun to have that much trust and faith in the guy standing next to you.
Pretty cool, the play in the ninth inning yesterday. Mitch Haniger throwing to you there at first base, and you doubled up Jabari Blash, and a nice little run you had to first base to double him up. And then on Twitter today, you said, "Dear Seattle, send Mitch to D.C." So pulling for Haniger to get to the All-Star game.
I mean, just the way that he can take over a ball game, I think you've seen that in our lineup and in our pitching staff, that one person can literally put the entire team on their back. James Paxton did it for us when he threw the no-hitter. Nelson Cruz can do it any given night. Mitch Haniger has done that very often. Everyone, 1 through 25 on this roster, can come through and pick us up for a night, and it's so special. And Mitch has done that more often than not this year for us as a team. And, you know, for us, I think all-stars are people that make a team as an entirety so much better, and that's exactly what Mitch Haniger has been. He stepped up, and he's really been a huge leaning point for us as a team, even being the young player that he is. You know, just the way that he's performing, it's special. And I think that, you know, he does not deserve to get overlooked for this All-Star game. And I really hope that he gets rewarded and gets sent to D.C. because he definitely deserves it.
Couple of more questions here for Ryan Healy. Ryan, we're trying to get to know this team. You got some new faces, including you this year, who's new to the franchise. Some other guys that have been here a bit, but I was going to see if you'd play along and answer a couple questions here. I'm interested, who's the loudest guy in the dugout? Who chirps the most?
We got a couple. In the dugout, I'm going to say Nelson Cruz is probably the loudest, but he is by far the funniest in the just the one that keeps everyone loose. And we even noticed it when he was on the DL for a little bit, or I think he was shut down for a couple of days. He was getting treatment during the game and he was in the dugout. And it's just, man, he's such a presence that you miss, you know, whether he's hitting two homers a game or not. He's such a physical presence in this clubhouse and in this dugout. Him and Seager have a really fun dynamic, the way that they go back and forth and they'll chirp at umpires, opposing teams, whatever it is, and kind of keeps the dugout loose. D's awesome at it. Haredi and Segura have some really funny stuff, too. I think that kind of all the way through the dugout, we keep the vibe and everything really loose, and you'll see numerous guys laughing throughout the course of a game just because someone will say something funny or do something funny, and it's really entertaining. Ichiro also has a personal handshake with every single person on the team, including coaching staff, mimicking or mocking them in some sort of way. So he definitely set the tone every single game of, you know, keeping the vibe loose and keeping the dugout where it needs to be.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to know is the Mariners have had 6 walk-off wins this year, 6 wins where they've won in the final at bat and walked off. You've had one of them. Who's the one guy that you're looking out for because you know they might throw something on you, they might slap your helmet hard? Who's the one guy you don't want to see in the celebration scrum?
Well, I think we've noticed that Segura and Haredi are two of the first ones out there. Haredi has been the Gatorade man as of late. And I think if you rewatch the highlight of last night when Haniger got into the on plate, we're all jumping up and down, and all of a sudden you see everyone's head turn and you see Haredi huck the entire Gatorade bottle or tub over every single person. And I think Mitch might be the one person that didn't get Gatorade on him because the rest were soaking wet. But it's just really, really funny to go back and see how people react in such emotional, high emotional times like that. And it's just pure joy.
Ryan, I hope this isn't too personal of a question, but how'd the haircut go today?
It was great. Wow, the guy did an awesome job here. We got Mark, who comes in here first game every home, saying he did a great job. So I got my girlfriend coming up this weekend, so I had to a face that I'm not just a ball player, I'm actually a human being and stuff, so I got to look good for her.
Get all tidied up.
Okay, so they bring somebody in, because I was telling these guys when I played in the NFL, there was always like one guy who was the designated hair cutter, and I never went to him. But,
no?
But now they bring guys in. Yeah, because I would ask him, I'm like, can you cut white people's hair? And he's like, sure. And it was Eugene Robinson. And I was like, no, man. That's okay. I'll go ahead and go to the barber. But they actually bring somebody in for you.
Yeah, nowadays, even on visiting teams, there's a guy that'll come and visit clubhouse and the home clubhouse here. Obviously, we have Mark. So it's just an easier dynamic. And it's also kind of nice to have someone that you trust or you know, I can get a consistent haircut every couple of weeks when we're home. And, you know, obviously we spend 10 plus hours at the field every day, so it's nice to get some of those errands done while you're here.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, also, I saw a thing on TV about your family. Your mom was a fast pitch.
Yeah, it was really
softball
cool.
Softball pitcher, and your sisters and everything. But, you know, we got Father's Day coming up. And tell us a little bit about your dad.
Man, I don't even know where to start there. He's kind of been my rock and my foundation, I guess, for my entire life, not just baseball career, but my life. If I ever have any questions about anything, that's who I call. I still, at 26 years old, I check in to make sure things are going all right with, you know, making sure I'm paying my bills on time and just little things like that. I mean, he's kind of always been my rock. Like I said, he was the guy that was throwing me endless amounts of batting practice, hitting me endless ground balls, catching bullpens. He was there for literally every waking moment of my baseball career. So for him to be able to share this with me at this level, it's been really special for both of us.
That's really cool. Could you hit your mom? At what point could you finally hit her? Because she was a pitcher, right? Whoops.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Ryan Healy.
We lost him.
We'll see if we can get him back, or really nice of him to spend the time that was joining there.
That was cool hearing about his dad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the thing was on the special, like everybody in his family's an athlete. I think, except I think his dad, you know, didn't play sports, or he probably did in high school or something like that. But he's like, yeah, you know, my poor dad gets sort of left. They're always talking to him about his mom and everything. But yeah, it just seemed like a really cool, unbelievable family.
Yeah, can you imagine how much the family enjoyed this last series, watching him with the four home runs?
Can you imagine watching Stevie and Mikey out there, Jim? You know, watching your kids. And Ryan, we were just talking about your family and how cool that special was. But just, you know, for them to be able to come and watch you hit four home runs, or just, it's got to be amazing for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they're learning that they have to take the good with the bad at this level, because it's such a competitive atmosphere all the time. I still give my dad a hard time. Just, he was in Toronto not long ago with us, and you know, I would have a really bad game, went 0-for-4 or something, and he's grumpy, and he's in the hotel room, and we're talking. I'm like, why does your attitude change based off of my performance? Like, Dad, sometimes I rake when you're here, sometimes I stink. It's just kind of the way it goes. It's not personal, I promise. So I need you to understand that, Dad. It's just kind of the, you know, dumb luck. So you gotta take the good with the bad. So the last day we were there, I think I had a couple of hits and hit him a homer, so he left on a high note. But yeah. It's, you definitely care so much about me and my performance and just everything about me as a person and a ball player. So he definitely rides the roller coaster with me emotionally. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to clarify, sorry, Jim, really quick, because I asked you right before you cut out there, when could you hit? I meant, when could you hit off of your mom? Because she was a pitcher, right?
I never tried. It was one of those things where I didn't want to be embarrassed if I couldn't hit her. And if I did hit the ball and I hit it hard back at her, then all of a sudden
bad.
I just hurt my mother and I am just the worst human being in the world. So, you know, they like to call that a lose-lose situation, and I try to avoid those at all costs.
Hey, with your dad, one last thing about your dad. What was it like on the car rides home? Because, you know, as a dad, we talk about that, you know, when our kids have a bad game, you know, what's the best way to handle it? How'd your dad handle it?
Depends on what kind of bad game it was. You know, did I totally blow the game, or, you know, was it just another game? He was definitely hard on me beyond belief, and second place was not an option when it came to anything. One of my favorite stories that has really stuck with me is, you know, we made it to the championship. I think it was 13-year-old, and we had the championship, and we lost the championship game. We got our second place trophy, and we were out of there quicker than you could possibly imagine. And on our long walk back to the car, I remember both second place trophies made it into a trash can, not the car with us. So that kind of gives you some insight on how competitive my father can be and essentially where I got my competitive edge from, and, you know, kind of taken me this far.
He is Ryan Healy. Ryan, it's a blast watching your team right now. It's so much fun, and I hope that the energy is building up. It's going to be a great series this weekend against Boston, and we're really grateful for you spending the time to join us today. Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, guys. Going to go get ready for it right now.
All right. That is Ryan Healy there. He is dressed and pressed. He's ready to go. He's got a fresh new haircut. He was part of the comeback yesterday. It's a game-tying home run. I love the stories about guys in the dugout, because I don't think of Kyle Seager and Nelson Cruz as two of the louder personalities.
Well, and they have that little celebration where they jump and kind of hip-check each other or something.
Which at some point is going to wreck Kyle Seager. Kyle Seager's giving away too much weight in that exchange.
Kyle Seager's he's
stocky.
He's got the power source to handle it.
Nelson Cruz is 50 pounds heavier than him, though. No. Eventually, this is going to come out in the wrong end of it.
There's no way he's 50 pounds.
You don't think so?
How much do you think Seager weighs? He's got to be 215, 210. Yeah, he's solid.
Isn't Nelly like 250?
I think Nelson. Mm. Yeah,
I don't think he's 240, that much. 245. He's not
250. Dude, he's built like a linebacker.
Ryan Healy's done
the... Can take Chris Sale?
Yeah, I know he can. Ryan Healy's done the impossible.
Hey, wait a minute.
Chris Sale's in town. Does he need to set this up? And we're going to be at Edgar's Cantina tomorrow talking to Nelson Cruz. And I think it'd be great if Chris Sale came out there and we had a showdown.
We'll ask Cruz if he.
And I can just sit there with a margarita and watch.
Yeah.
It'd be fantastic.
Well, Jim, you know my policy. If it helps the show, whatever gets us to 55-50, it's a mutual combat state. So, yeah.
So the tale of the tape, he's 29 years old, 6'6", 180 against Dave Wyman, 54, 6'2". What? Two,
weight undetermined.
235.
240.
Apparently, Nelson Cruz is listed at 230. And in the spirit of your softball question, because Ryan Healy's mom was a softball pitcher, the 509 texts in, Ryan Divish throws fast pitch and throws about 75 miles an hour. Really good player.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was just a swimmer.
Thanks for listening, Ryan.
By the way, when my kids get a second place trophy, we take them home and put them on the hearth, and we're really proud of them.
Yeah.
Or you know, on the ride home, I'm saying, you guys finished second. That's pretty good. You want pizza tonight or you want burgers?
Well, I think, whatever his dad's policy was, he did a really good job raising this guy because, man, and he is going to get a lot of national attention and interviews, too, and especially if he continues at this pace, hit 25 homers last year. And I know that there was questions about him coming into the season. You know, what about if he struggles?
I had huge doubts about him.
Yeah, you might want to put Robinson Cano at first base when he comes back, and this guy's been money.
I'm through with the idea of thinking that, hey, Robinson Cano should go to first base when he comes back. You've got to keep Ryan Healy in this lineup, like for a couple different reasons. I think that you can watch the way he interacts with his teammates, how much guys like playing with him. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can see a connection between he and D. Gordon pretty specifically.
You could put Healy over at third if Seager continues to struggle.
Though. They mentioned that Healy's, and he certainly looks like a good enough athlete. John Olerud was a fantastic defensive first baseman. But I never sat there and thought about, you know what, his defense at first base is such a huge asset. I always loved John and always thought about John's productivity at the plate. I think you've seen this year Ryan Healy make a real impact with his glove at first base, and he's got great power. I wondered last year, 25 home runs, which when I saw that, I was like, how the heck did they get a guy who was a rookie with 25 home runs for a relief pitcher?
I thought there must be something wrong with him for the A's to give him up.
And then I looked at the strikeouts, and I was like, that's an awful lot of strikeouts. And then you pointed out, Jim, it was kind of a month and a half where he was really hot. I've loved the way Ryan Healy's played. In fact, it's one of the, like, group that in with the number of trades now, three. That's the fourth of four trades that Jerry DePoto's made that's really made this success that we're seeing right now possible.
Yeah, and probably one of the things that we've neglected the most is his defense and how good he is. And he's incredibly flexible as well. You see him stretching and for some of those throws that have to come in at a different angle. And then, yeah, he just scoops everything. It's been phenomenal. He's on pace for, what, probably a little bit over 30 home runs this year. He's got 13 right now. What do we have, five double-digit home run players this year, and
one of five.
You got
teams.
Cruz and Haniger with 16, Healy with 13, Seager with 12, and Zunino with 10. That's the thing about Seager. Everybody talking about, he's only hitting .222. He's still got 12 homers and 41 RBIs.
Yeah,
it hasn't stung you yet that Seager's not really hitting and as productive as you'd want to be. And it's not with the home runs, but it's with the rest of the hits. It might have changed since then, but a couple days ago on Root Sports, they said it was the Mariners were one of five teams with five guys that have double-digit home runs. It speaks to the length of the lineup and just the overall, the number of different guys that can do damage. And we've seen it in the way that they've won games and what they've been able to do. I think that Ryan Healy has been one of the quiet, important additions that's made this success possible.
That question you asked him about what's the one guy in the dugout that you don't want to see after a celebration because of too vigorous of a high five? There were guys like that on every single team. And I remember specifically in Denver, there was a guy named Jeff Robinson. We called him Salty.
He was here for a little bit.
Yeah, he was.
He was
the long snapper, right. Yeah, he was the guy. That year they couldn't find a long snapper, and they brought him off the shelf Jeff had been, I think, retired for a year or two, and just a great football player and had a great career, got a Super Bowl ring. But his rookie year, when you, you know, whenever he made a play and he went to give you a high five, it was going to hurt. So I just always kind of stay away from him. He's also one of those guys on the sidelines that would come up and go, so then the guy comes up and he hits me, and then he would actually hit you. And I'm like, just use your words, okay? I don't need to go through
this. Use your words.
Yeah.
Like he's three?
Well, yeah, because he's coming over. Yeah, and then he slapped me on the head. And I'm like, okay, you can describe this without. But, yeah, there's always that guy that gets super fired up, and it sounds like it's Heredia on the sidelines.
I heard, yes, that's kind of what I – and that he'll take the Gatorade container, and he's not – his marksmanship is trumped by his enthusiasm when it comes to the Gatorade bats, that he doesn't quite – he doesn't do – he kind of does the ready, fire, aim sort of approach to the Gatorade bath.
Yeah, Healy's done the impossible, hasn't he? Because you like an Oregon Duck. He's an Oregon Duck, and you manage to like him now.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not entirely comfortable with that.
I don't know if you should have brought that up.
Yeah. It's true, though. Maybe because he's from Southern California, and I'm willing, because of how long it's been, in the Mariners are the Northwest team, so I assume that the state of Oregon is rooting for them as well. It's a little less, yeah, I'm not entirely comfortable with myself. It was good. Also, Dave, why don't you ever say to me, just use your words?
Oh, because I don't need to. You do that in either way. We were talking before the game about how supposedly, and I wasn't fully aware of this, that you don't talk to the starting pitcher before a game, apparently.
Yeah.
And I said, what if Danny was a starting pitcher? Be like, guys, hey, talk to me. Hey, hey, you guys want to talk? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Come on. Did I ever tell you about my friend Josh Malinger?
Yeah, I did have a friend named Josh Malinger. I drew Dave a diagram yesterday of that. It's Danny Davenmore. We've got two tickets to Saturday's game, which is going to be very fun, and we're going to do this with a quiz show. Do you guys know what the quiz show is that we're doing yet?
Don't.
Okay.
I don't know.
And we got DePoto, Jerry DePoto.
That's going to be at 3:40.
DePoto show. Is that, you want to get into that too? 3:45?
Yeah, I won't do the singing yet. We're going to do the quiz next. Start loading up the phone lines, 206-421-3776. We're going to give away those tickets next.
You're listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. Got a great show today. We're going to give away two tickets here in just a second. Jerry DePoto, Mariners general manager, he's going to join us at 3:45. Our weekly visit with him. We talked to Ryan Healy. We'll also get into the Seahawks, who wrapped up their mini camp in a little bit. But right now, it's two tickets to Saturday's game. Two teams with the most wins in all of baseball. They square off starting tonight at Safeco. We want to send you to the game. We're going to do that right now, and we've got full phone lines. So what we're going to do is, the Mariners have six walk-off victories, and what we're going to ask for is the hitters who are responsible for those walk-off victories. All you have to do is give me one of the six. We start off with our first caller is Jesse in Bothell. Jesse.
Mitch Haniger
is the one, which is hey, which
let's do this, bro. I'm ready.
All right.
Jesse's not messing around.
Jesse's not messing around.
I got early money on Jesse.
All right, Jesse.
Here's the pitch, the Mitch. Swing and a drive, deep to left field. Going, going. Goodbye, baseball. A walk-off line drive. Two-run home run for Mitch Haniger to win it. Holy smokes, the Mariners beat the Angels by a score of 8-6. Haniger, with his second walk-off home run of the season, is getting mobbed at home plate.
You're
that is one of them.
Time to look things up.
That is one of them. Tony from Snohomish. Tony, give me the next guy who had a walk-off hit for these Mariners.
D. Gordon.
D. Gordon. D. Gordon. D. Gordon. Oh, Tony. Sorry. Thank you for playing, though.
I was going to bet on Tony, too, but I didn't have a dollar in my wallet.
You owe me a dollar.
Yeah, let's go to Mike in Maple Valley. Mike, a player with a walk-off hit for these Seattle Mariners. Mitch Haniger's off the board.
Mike Zunino.
The 2-2. Swing, line drive, this game is over! Home run porch, punch your ticket, Mike Zunino, for the second straight year, a walk-off bomb against the Twins, and they are ready to pounce on him at home plate. Absolutely crushed purple Gatorade everywhere.
He wins it in the 12th, 4-3, your final. The Mariners have won this series against the Twins.
All right, that is Mike in Maple Valley. Michael in Tacoma. We got two guys off the board. Who's another player who had a walk-off hit for this team?
Ryan Healy.
Ryan Healy. Let's see. Ryan Healy.
And the 1-1 to Seager. Swinging a drive. Deep to right center field. Going and going off the base of the wall. Robbie to third. He is going to be waved in. The throw in. Gets on by the cutoff man. Robbie scores. Standing up. Seager in at second. With a one-out RBI double ties the game. Holy smokes. Mariners 8 and the Angels 8.
That was a walk-off hit in the May 5th for that one. Let's go to Jay in Seattle. Jay, what's up?
Hey, how about the boomstick?
The boomstick for Nelson Cruz. Let's see if we get to him. Let's see.
No kidding.
I'm sorry, Jay.
You know what? I would have guessed that one.
Jay, that was a good guess, but not the boomstick. Let's go to Rachel in Spanaway. Rachel, we still got a couple hitters. Who has a walk-off hit? Gene Segura. Let's see. Gene Segura.
And the right-hander is 1-2 on the way to Segura. Swinging a ground ball. Fair inside the bag at first on the right field line. Gordon waved around third. Heading home. He scores. Gene Segura with a walk-off single to win it. By a score of 3-2 here in the bottom of the 11th inning. Segura getting mobbed out there around the bag at second.
This one is remembered because it was the weekend where one fan in the green hat failed to catch Mitch Haniger when he went tumbling into the crowd. And that fan, there was a black shirt guy who was reaching out for the ball. He needed to keep his grubby mitts off of it.
Right. He almost ruined it.
All right. So we got four people here. Jesse, there's one batter left who has had a walk-off hit. Can you tell me who it was?
Guillermo Heredia.
Oh, it is true.
Here's the stretch and the 2-2 to Heredia. Swinging a line drive, base hit, left center field. Healy around in third, being waved in by Brosius. He will score. Guillermo Heredia with a walk-off single. Mariners win it. 9-8 here in the bottom of the 11th inning.
No, you think Jesse Googled something while he was on hold?
I don't know. It's possible. But
I mean, I would have.
You would have?
Yeah.
Well, you have no ethics, though.
I don't think Jesse does either.
Oh, really?
Hey, well, ask him.
That's my guy.
Jesse being truthful.
Jesse, did you Google it?
First of all, that would be illegal. I'm driving. I'm already breaking one law on the phone. I can't text and drive, too.
This is
very... No, I didn't.
Are you in the carpool lane, Jesse?
Yes, I was the dummy in the passenger seat.
Yes, perfect.
We're all rooting for Jesse a little bit right now.
Did he win? How do you win this?
Well, how you're going to win this is that I'm going to start throwing some different questions at the callers, and Jesse is the only one to answer the second question right. Mike in Maple Valley. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing good.
Who has the most home runs on this Mariners team?
I believe it's Nelson Cruz.
It is Nelson Cruz. He is tied for it. We still have Mike is still alive. Let's go to Michael in Tacoma. Michael, how are you?
Good.
I want to ask who has the most base hits on this Mariners team.
Gene Segura.
That is Gene Segura. We got a solid list of callers here. We got a solid list of people that have been able to answer and tear through it. Rachel in Spanaway. Rachel.
Yeah.
Who has the most doubles on this team?
D. Gordon.
It's a good guess. It's not the right guess.
That was a hard question.
That is a tough one.
That was harder than most hits. Don't you think?
You're criticizing it.
No, I'm not criticizing. Just making an observation.
Rachel, thank you very much for playing.
Thanks, Rachel. This is a big leagues, Jim.
Yeah, seriously. You get to the point. She lasted a long time. She came into the second round.
What was the answer?
The questions will get tougher. Gene Segura.
Segura. It was back-to-back Segura.
Back-to-back Segura.
You know, it's funny, these stats. You could just guess him every time and probably have a pretty good chance.
You would have a decent shot. Let's go back to Jesse and Bothell. Jesse, you're still driving, I hope.
Yeah, I'm still driving. I almost got in a fender bender, but it's good. Keep going.
Who has the most victories on this team? Most wins by a starting pitcher?
The most wins by a starting pitcher. I believe that's Mike Leake.
It is Mike Leake.
Wow.
Mike Leake is
Jesse.
Tied for that. Let's go to Mike in Maple Valley. Mike, tell me who has the most strikeouts on this team. Which pitcher has struck out the most batters?
James Paxton.
That is correct as well.
That was a hanging curveball there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You want to criticize now the nature of the questions?
No,
would you
just,
like to participate?
These are observations. They're not criticisms.
That would be there. If you'd like to jump in,
I'm enjoying the contest.
We'd be more than happy to have you.
I'd enjoy it even more, though. You, Dave, we have to bet on this. You want Jesse and I take the field? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take the
Jesse.
Field.
We got Michael in Tacoma. Michael, how are you?
Good.
Who has the most errors? Who's committed the most errors on this team?
Errors. Oh, I would say Gene Segura.
That's correct as well.
Once again.
We're going to now go to Jesse and Bothell. Jesse, who's committed the second most errors on the team?
Kyle Seager.
Kyle Seager's tied with D. Gordon. Both have five. So that is a correct answer. Jesse's still in the game here. I would say this, that we've got some serious Mariner fans who are on the phone. Mike in Maple Valley. Mike, we know one of the answers for who has the most home runs on this team. Nelson Cruz was given to us. After Nelson Cruz, who has the second most?
Oh, man. Shoot. I think it's Kyle Seager.
It is not Kyle Seager. Kyle Seager. So that we are down to two. It is a last man standing competition. Michael in Tacoma, can you give me the player who has, after Nelson Cruz, the next most home runs on this team?
Mitch Haniger.
That is correct. We go back now to Jesse. Jesse, who has the third
well,
most?
Well, I got a question real quick. A question. That was a trick question.
That was because they both have 16.
Here's the thing is that I gave you the question first, right? And you could have given me one of two answers that would have been right. So it was actually tougher for the other guy.
Correct. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying.
Should we disqualify Jesse?
No, absolutely
no, no,
not.
No, no, no.
Okay, really?
Jesse.
Jim's just saying that because he has money on it.
I'm trying to win the bet.
Give him your line, Jim. They're not criticisms. They're just observations.
Observations. Right. Yeah. Jesse, who's got the third most home runs on this team?
Ooh. Oh, man. I know that. I'm going to think this out real quick. I'm going to talk it out here. I know Mike Zunino has 10. And Ryan Healy has 12. Nelson Cruz and Mitch Haniger both have 16. And the fourth guy, there's a fifth guy. I'm just going to say, I'm on the clock here.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Healy.
Nice call.
Nice. He dug that one
13.
Out.
Yes, he did.
As he Googled his phone.
Michael in Tacoma, who's next on the home run list? Fourth most home runs on this team.
Oh, that has to be Seager, right?
That is Seager. Let's go back now to Jesse. Fifth most home runs on this team.
Say that again?
Fifth most. Who's number five on home runs?
Zunino at 10.
That is correct as well. We're going to see if he can get the next
one. We're going to go till 6 o'clock doing this.
Michael, who's got the sixth most?
Oh, God. Segura.
That's correct.
Jeez. Give them both the tickets. Can we do that?
I only think we have two that are there. Yeah. And let's go for second most hits. Jesse, who has the second most hits on this team?
I'll just take Mike on a date. How about that?
do you guys want to do that? We'll see if we can do that. We'll get back to you here in just a second. And we've got Jerry DePoto coming up with us on Danny, Dave, and More.
This is the Jerry DePoto Show.
Presented by Ram Trucks.
And GEICO. Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and More.
Looking forward to it every week.
The latest transactions. The breakdown on the Mariners' latest moves. The reason behind the decisions that shape the organization.
I love the time together. It gives me a chance to hold myself accountable.
Now, here's Danny, Dave, and More.
One quick housekeeping note before we get to the GM. Both our contestants won tickets. That was really impressive. And the Jerry DePoto Show brought to you by Ram Trucks. Jerry, this is a lot of fun watching your team right now. How much fun is it for you being at the helm of this?
It's a blast. I did the energy every day, the excitement at the ballpark. I think slowly but surely we're starting to see some more fan involvement. And this team has been just so much fun to be around, and it's been that way since opening day, and it just seems to get better every day.
Who's the guy that's been the most, it's probably like trying to ask you to, you know, pick your favorite child, but, you know, the guy that's the most pleasant surprise for you at this point?
The most pleasant surprise. There's I guess if you have to pick those pleasant surprises, it's probably not going to be among your best players because you anticipate them doing the things that they do.
Right.
Pleasant surprises, I have to say, if you pegged Ben Gamel for making the type of 30-day turnaround that he has made since coming back in April, early May, and what he's done in the 3-4 weeks since has been awesome. Pleasant surprise is the season-long productivity of Chasen Bradford, who didn't make our team out of spring training and has been such a solid contributor as a waiver pickup, has been really a shot in the arm. A pleasant surprise has been Ryan Cook and the return he's made from 2 years away from the big leagues and thrown in the mid-90s with a really good slider. And as long as he's in run into Mike Trout, he seems to have been a really good addition for our club as well. There's been so many guys, Wade LeBlanc. I can line them up. They've been great.
Mitch Haniger hitting the walk-off winner yesterday, Jerry. I'm just wondering, when you made that trade for Haniger and Segura with Arizona, you look at Haniger and what he did in September there at the end of the season with the Diamondbacks, it wasn't really too much to write home about. And yet, what was it that you saw in him that made him such a vital part of that trade?
Well, if you look at the whole body of work and the year and a half prior to his call-up, that was notable. His 2016 season in AAA split between Double and AAA was awesome. He was probably the best player in the minor leagues in terms of his performance. And then when he went to the big leagues in September 2016, while not notable for the raw numbers, the TV numbers, let's call it, in a limited opportunity, one thing Mitch did do was he hit the ball very hard. And, his average exit velocities were in the mid-90s, which kind of speaks to a player who is making good barrel contact, though maybe not getting great results. We combine that with our scouting view of him going back to college, put it together with what was a dominant minor league season, and then a guy who transitioned into the big leagues hitting the ball very hard. And that's... I wish I could tell you we knew we would be getting a guy that I think should be in the conversation, not just as an all-star, but first half MVP candidate with guys like Gene Segura and many others, Mookie Betts, Manny Machado around the league. But these guys just haven't been good for us. They've been just good in general.
Jerry, I'm going to ask you, this is probably the toughest question you'll be asked today. What was more impressive, the throw Mitch Haniger made or the tag Gene Segura applied to get Valbuena out on Tuesday night?
Actually, the second time I've been asked today, and as impressive as the way Mitch cut the ball off, unloaded it quickly, got it there online, which by itself is like a difficulty rating of 9 out of 10, the creativity and instincts it took for Gene to set up, situate himself, receive that throw, and then tag the runner well short of the bag with his back to the play was pretty phenomenal. So if I had to think, Mitch will make throws like that again in his career, but that the combination of the throw tag, I think the tag is the more unique element of that, but it takes two to tango. And a pretty entertaining play, and I doubt we'll see a defensive play that has that much intrigue the rest of the season. That's pretty great.
The other thing I was going to ask you is that you've had a number of trades going back to last year and picking up guys, whether it was Mike Leake or Marco Gonzalez, the trade, go back fully to the trade of Taijuan Walker and getting Haniger and Segura. You've kind of been hot, and I'm wondering as a GM if you feel like you're sort of a shooter that's on a hot streak and you want to start jacking up a few more deals because you got a hot hand right now.
I've thrown a couple of air balls too. It's part of the nature of making as many transactions and trades as we do. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make trades that look bad in the short term, and you're going to make good moves. And we have an excellent scouting department. I don't know that anybody in the league has a better combination of scouting and analytics than we can throw out there. And I trust the process that we employ. We are on a bit of a good run in terms of players we've acquired, and in order to get, you do have to give. And occasionally somebody's going to make you wear tomato on your face, I suppose. But the way these guys have done what they do, and they've lived up to every bit of what we thought we were acquiring when we got them, and you know, really fortunate, because it doesn't always work that way, and you have to take the bad with the good, and then occasionally the criticisms or the jokes about how many moves we make gets lost in there, that part of why we do what we do was to create a team that could do the things that this team is doing. And I think, as I've said before, as a group, we've done more good than bad.
Yeah, I like the notion that he, because he's had good trades, that he should just start, you know, just shooting the ball from anywhere.
It's exactly right. It's like Allen Iverson.
Are you going to do that anyway?
Well, what are you seeing from Boston, Jerry, coming in here? They're also looking really good, and same thing with the Yankees. But this team, you know, there was some question as to if they could handle some of the better teams. They went to Houston and split, and you know, and then swept the Angels. So looking pretty good, but a pretty formidable team coming in here.
There's no doubt they are, and you know, as I said, whenever we play a game, today's game is the one that matters, and we can't get too hung up on the next 9 days that follow or 10 days that follow. We understand that the Yankees and the Red Sox have been the two of the best teams in this league for sure, and that they're as talented as anybody in baseball. And what we can focus on tonight is David Price and the Red Sox, and go out there and play our game. And remember that for all the criticisms, for all the questions of sustainability, as we sit here, I think only the Yankees have a better record in the American League in regard to playing good baseball versus 500 or better teams. We've actually done quite well in that regard, too. So, you know, while we've not yet played the Yankees or the Red Sox, and that is fascinating to the people in the East Coast media market, we have done quite well when we've played winning teams, and I have a feeling we'll hold our own versus these.
Well, and I know you're not going to see Chris Sale, but I've offered to take him out. Jim thinks that I can't whoop his ass, and he only weighs 15 pounds more than Jose Altuve, okay? And he's 6'6".
Hey, so, Jerry, come on.
Offer's still good.
This is a 54-year-old washed-up football player who thinks he can take out a 29-year-old baseball player. I'm not buying it.
Here's the thing is, you guys are asking the general manager of the Mariners to handicap a potential fight involving a player from another franchise. Like, there's all sorts of bad juju going on.
No, there's not. Go ahead, Jerry. What do you think?
I think he's quick and slithery, and you're going to have a tough time squaring him up. So,
see, you know what?
Yeah.
And I would not let yourself get 60 feet from him, because if he unloads one at your midsection, you might feel it.
Well, you know, look, as long as he doesn't have a baseball or a pair of scissors in his hands, I'm feeling okay. And also, I said I can square him up.
He'd keep you up with those long arms of his. Man. He'd jab you to death. He'd be like Mayweather.
Man. Good Lord.
All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah. All right, sorry, well, I've Jerry. Got – okay, since we're going down that path, I've got a question for you. It's personal, and I'm curious, so I'm just going to go ahead and ask you. I would think that beating the Angels for you, it's even sweeter. You get extra satisfaction out of that. I sit here and I think, you know, if I ever get fired by this radio station, if I went to work for another one and we had better ratings than the station that fired me, I'd be like, yeah, that'll teach you to fire me. So I'm just wondering if you felt like when you sweep the Angels, if you get a little extra out of that.
I'd be lying if I say I didn't, but I've also been around baseball long enough, worked for enough teams, and been in so many different roles and I guess capacities. It's baseball, and once the game starts, you're focused on your team and the things that you can do. It's while in retrospect, sure, it feels better for you personally. There are a lot of guys over there that frankly I respect a whole lot. A lot of guys over there that I was a part of bringing over there, and I don't wish them ill will. I just hope that we beat them 19 times, and I'd like to beat them by a lot. And it's I don't think that makes them any different than any other team in the league, and I'm sure that the same is felt with them. They're kind of a rival of ours. They're in the division. We play them very closely. And it's been that way for multiple years, whether I was there or here. And, you know, I don't get too caught up in it. If you start to focus on you and your emotions, that's generally when things start to go in the wrong direction.
Boy, that's a more mature answer than I would have had, Jerry.
Well, I would say this. Jerry DePoto's maturity compared to you is not surprising. I don't think anybody would be shocked at that. Jerry, thank you very much for joining us. It's a blast to watch your team playing right now. And there's going to be a great atmosphere at the park this weekend, four games against the Red Sox. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. I'm looking forward to it, too.
All right. That is Jerry DePoto. We got the Professor John Clayton, the Seahawks, done with their offseason. But one announcement, both Michael and Jesse get two tickets. They're not going to have to go with each other, although that was a fantastic suggestion by Jesse from Bothell. I thought that that was the most impressive showing by two quiz contestants we've had. We got John Clayton next.